Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming despite your busy schedule. We now begin briefing on major projects in the energy and infrastructure segment. First, I'd like to introduce the participants. Representative Executive Officer, President and CEO, Masashi Muromachi. Representative Executive Officer, Corporate Senior Executive Vice President, Shigenori Shiga. Representative Executive Officer, Corporate Senior Vice President, Masayoshi Hirata. President of Westinghouse Electric Company, Danny Roderick. And Executive Officer, Corporate Vice President, Chairman of Landis and Gear, Hiroshi Kurihara. And allow me to introduce myself. I am Naoto Hasegawa from Public Relations and Investor Relations Office. I'll be serving as the moderator. First, our President Muromachi will say a few words, followed by a briefing on major projects by Shiga. Good afternoon. This is Muromachi speaking. I'd like to thank you for gathering despite your busy schedule. On November 17th, we announced the goodwill impairment of Westinghouse, subsidiary of our group. And then we received instruction from the Tokyo Securities Exchange that the fiscal 2012 impairment at Westinghouse actually was subject to the timely disclosure. We take this matter seriously and we regret having failed to actively disclose in a timely and appropriate manner. We also apologize to the investors for insufficient disclosure of information. Going forward, we will redress our approach on information disclosure, and so as to regain the trust of the stakeholders, I will personally lead efforts to more actively disclose information. And as a first step, we arranged this meeting to brief you on the performance of Westinghouse, which was considered to be insufficient, and other major projects of the energy and infrastructure segment. Going forward, we plan to organize similar meetings at the right juncture, such as at the time of the submission of the improvement plan and the structural reform of challenging businesses. Also, on major projects, we plan to hold regular meetings to give you an update to facilitate better understanding of the investors. And regarding the lawsuits against the former executives, we are accepting and receiving many questions. Although we have yet to decide on exact date, we plan to have a briefing by the audit committee on the matter by the end of the year. The Company Act stipulates that this litigation is a prerogative of the audit committee. So, I would refrain from commenting on the matter. We take it seriously that former executives were considered to have breached the duty of care. We are committed to bidding farewell to the past and work diligently on the implementation of preventive measures. We at Toshiba consider timely and appropriate disclosure of financial and corporate information to the investors to be the foundation of a sound financial market. Based on this basic recognition, we have renewed our awareness of the significance of timely information disclosure, and we are committed to more proactive disclosure of information. We ask for your continued support and understanding. Next, our Corporate Senior Executive Vice President, Shigenori Shiga, will brief you on major projects in the Energy and Infrastructure segment, including the projects of Westinghouse. This is Shiga speaking. I will brief you on the major projects in the Energy and Infrastructure segment. I'll be using the slides. Today, I'll be covering four topics, as shown on the slide. First, about the Westinghouse goodwill impairment testing and the business outline of Westinghouse. Secondly, I'll be talking about the Landis+Gyr. We are receiving many questions about the impairment testing, so I'll talk about Landis+Gyr. And within our group, there is a major project, NuGEN project in United Kingdom. This is a nuclear project, so I'd like to talk about that as a third topic. And finally, but not the least, I would be talking about our LNG project, the Freeport Liquefaction Tolling Agreement. First, about the Westinghouse. This table covers the period between 2006, in which we acquired Westinghouse, and the first half of fiscal 2015. You can see the net sales and operating income during this period. And you can see the breakdown. As Westinghouse, there is a fuel business unit and service business unit and others, which includes corporate expenses. You can see the total Westinghouse, and there is a line that says other than Westinghouse. Mainly, this is nuclear-related businesses in Japan. In addition, there are business transactions between Westinghouse and Toshiba, which are included in the consolidated adjustment line. All put together, we are showing the total as the fuel and services. And then there is the Westinghouse construction business, building AP1000 plants, and you can see the breakdown of that part of the business as well. And as you can see, between fiscal 2006 and fiscal 2015, the businesses have been growing steadily. The total net sales, 5,150.6 billion yen. And operating income, as you can see in red box, that's for the fuel and service. The cumulative operating income was 254.5 billion yen, ROS 6%. As for construction, AP1000 plants are being built for the very first time, and therefore there are some tough situations that we are faced with. Cumulative operating loss of 50.5 billion is recorded. Overall, total operating income is about 200 billion yen. Under the table, there is a line that says Westinghouse's independent operating income, and you can see the negative figures for fiscal years 2012 and 2013. These reflect the impairment charges, which I'll be covering in my presentation today. The next table, net sales are the same as what I just explained. And in the bottom half, you can see EBITDA, because we'll be talking about the impairment revaluation. The EBITDA is a total of operating income and the reversal of depreciation cost, in other words, cash. This is one of the key indicators that show how Westinghouse is generating cash. As you can see in the red box, we have figures for fuel and service, which is the basic stable business for Westinghouse. On a cumulative basis, 413.3 billion yen. In contrast, construction posted -25 billion. In total, EBITDA was approximately 390 billion yen. This was the cumulative amount between the acquisition up to the first half of 2015. Next, I'd like to talk about the impairment test. There is a slide that says impairment test fiscal 2012. Within the dotted line, you can see the revaluation that was conducted within the Westinghouse. They are four business units, or what we call the four product lines, and you can see the results. As you can see, for new construction, book value and market value is being compared. As you can see, market value was smaller than the book value. For service and fuel, market value was larger than book value. For automation, which is mainly the I&C or the instrumentation and control for new plants, market value was smaller than the book value. That was the result for fiscal 2012, step one of the impairment test. Consequently, in step two of the impairment test, we reevaluated the value of goodwill accounted at the acquisition. As a result, we recorded the impairment of goodwill for new construction totaling $677 million, automation $249 million as goodwill impairment. On the right-hand side, you can see the blue box, in which you can see the total for the Westinghouse, the total market value, and the book value of what I just showed you on the left-hand side. As you can see, market value was larger than the book value. Based on this result, because Toshiba owns the entire Westinghouse, we decided not to record the impairment charges. At that juncture, we concluded that there is no impairment and stopped the process. In retrospect, we should have disclosed the information of the subsidiary from the shareholders' viewpoint, and we regret having failed to do so. You can see the results for fiscal 2013. On the left-hand side in the dotted line, you can see that the market value was larger than the book value, other than for new construction. For new construction, the market value was smaller than the book value. The assumptions were, as you can see in that box, conventionally, we took the income approach, in which the future cash flow and EBITDA were used as basis, in which the discount rates were applied. There is a different approach called market approach. In light of the difficult situation in new construction, we decided to look at other companies, such as Ariba of France, and decided to use the market approach as well. More specifically, income approach accounts for 75% and market approach accounts for 25% in this revaluation. And in step two, we concluded that the goodwill impairment was $394 million. On the right-hand side, you can see the total based on the Japanese evaluation based on the income approach, and the market value was larger than the book value. As for this market approach, as I said earlier, fuel and service business is very stable and strong. And given that, we concluded that the market approach was not necessary, and therefore we reached an agreement with the auditors to use only the income approach. For fiscal 2014, we integrated the Nuclear Energy Systems and Services Division with the Westinghouse Division. To respond more quickly to changes in business environment, because there are many uncertainties following the events at Fukushima. So we decided to integrate the Nuclear Energy Systems and Services Division of Toshiba with Westinghouse. And therefore, we decided to integrate the global business strategies and pursue efficient business operations. More specifically, the expected synergy includes sharing of the construction knowledge and cooperation in manufacturing. Based on this assumption, we performed the impairment testing for the Nuclear Energy System and Services Division for fiscal 2014. And on this page, you can see the details for fiscal years 2015 to 2017, we do have the medium-term management plan for a three-year period. For this period, we have net sales, operating income, and EBITDA. In the normal impairment testing, the period covered would be about five-year period, followed by permanent growth rate. But given that nuclear business is a more long-term business, we assumed a 15-year business plan for this testing and evaluation. On the right-hand side, you can see the EBITDA figures. Fiscal years 2015, 16, and 17 under the medium-term management plan. And we are expecting each business to grow in ensuing years, and the new opportunities for new constructions will emerge. Based on that assumption, we took the average of 180 billion yen EBITDA for a 12-year period.
The results are shown here. The top right actually shows the result of the impairment test done by Westinghouse. For your further information, actually in each business unit and the product line conducted its own test. The white pass here indicates it passed the impairment test. As for the fuel, it is a very firm business. So the test was conducted just qualitatively, so there are no numbers. But actually, it passed the test. It shows the Westinghouse assumption that it plans to receive orders for 64 units for the period of 15 years. Against that, the below shows Toshiba's own impairment assessment on a consolidated basis. Our assumption here is more realistic, 46 units instead of 64. And also, our permanent growth scenario shows 0% versus 2.5% on Western House side. Thus, we believe that we took a more stringent and stressful approach. All in all, for the fair value, about 810 billion yen. For the book value, about 730 billion yen. So it passed our test. Currently, our goodwill balance stands at 323.5 billion yen. Next, I will explain the outline of the Western House business. The company has its business operations in the entire plant life cycle. This shows that the business consists of new constructions, operations, maintenance, and of course, decommissioning. In parallel, fuel supply business is carried out. Therefore, the construction business is actually quite visible, but the fact is that after the construction done, there will be long years of operations and fuel supply business opportunities for as long as 40 years or 60 years in the case of the United States, and they are in the core business. We believe the decommissioning will become a big business in the future. With this point in mind, we currently are developing this field as our new business opportunity. This shows what I have just explained. New construction shows, actually, as of today, a small profitability since they are the very first initial plants. But it also shows a steady profit opportunities in the entire life cycle coming from operations, fuel business, as well as from decommissioning. Next, I would briefly touch upon the service business. Western House is now executing 160 to 200 projects per year. The outage service outage services include inspection of equipment and facilities, as well as fuel exchange and others. They also have large-sized equipment and replacement operations. And this covers reactor and vessel heads and steam generator replacement and others. Now, furthermore, the brain of nuclear reactor is, of course, an I&C. This area requires replacing analog systems with digital systems, another big business opportunity, we believe. Furthermore, here in Japan, Toshiba and Western House are collaborating with each other due to the changes in the nuclear regulations and March 11 in Fukushima. Annual sales is about 410 billion yen, as shown in the top right. Fuel business. More fuel is being supplied than the nuclear reactors constructed by the Western House. This is because, besides the PWL plants and by Western House, Toshiba is actually supplying fuel for the BWL and gas reactors in the United Kingdom, and also for the light water reactors in Russia. Our global share is 30%, and we do have long-term contracts, enjoying a stable business with the annual revenue of about 160 billion yen. Next, our construction business. Western House supplies and plants called AP1000. As shown in these pictures, they built 4 units in China and a total of 4 units in the 2 projects in the United States. In China, for information, RCP, or the nuclear pump, is already shipped. And field loading is to take place next year, so electricity is to be generated next year. We have reached that far. Vogtle and VC in the summer sites in the United States are scheduled to operate in 2019 and 2020, respectively. WEC has its scope of engineering and supply of major equipments, and the other companies have the scope of civil construction and procurement. As we announced this on October 28th to the press, CB&I in operations in the United States is now transferred into Western House. With this in place and going forward, and we should be able to centrally control the risk factors in the projects. As for an AP1000, as of today, as shown in this slide, we have more than 400 units to be constructed globally. We are actually targeting 64 orders out of this. In the impairment test, Japan covers 46 units, but the business plan aims at 64 units. This number includes the orders from China and the United States. And as I will explain this later, we are already engaged in sales activities in the UK as well. Finally, now I will touch upon decommissioning business. This is defined as new business area. But once decommissioning is decided, it is going to be big on project covering planning and decontamination, dismantling, removal, and finally building dismantling. As shown here, the Western House has already received, as shown in here, orders from Europe on the order of about 10 billion yen. They are responsible for decontamination and dismantling of reactors. Looking into 2040, globally 150 units will be subject to decommissioning, and it will give us certainly a big business opportunity. We forecast its per annum revenue will be about 30 billion yen. With this, I conclude my brief on Western House, and next I will move on to Landis and Gear. Landis and Gear has the electricity and gas smart meter in operation, and its peripheral solution businesses. I have shown one example of the smart meter in the left, and the company is offering solutions based on this. Please look at the right-hand side. It covers metering, networking, as well as hosting. Actually, its service and offerings are quite broad. One customer just may buy the device and offer its own services, but some of the small utilities, particularly in the United States, are outsourcing everything, including utility bill collection, to Landis and Gear. So this is the kind of business Landis and Gear is engaged in. And next, I'd like to disclose its past performance. Its performance, in a nutshell, is showing quite a stable situation. And please look at the table below. This shows the actual results till 2014, since 2011, when Toshiba acquired the company. Net sales, operating income, and EBITDA, every one of them shows steady results. Please understand that the impairment test we conducted would be based on income approach from FY15 to FY18, as shown on the right-hand side. We believe smart meters will be further deployed, and solution business will gain further momentum, particularly in North America. As for Europe, as of today, the smart meter has not been well deployed, but they have the EU directive promoting smart meter coverage up to 80% by 2020. With this, we believe that this segment is going to grow big as time goes on. As for Asia, we have already launched a less expensive version of smart meters in India and others. We believe that and we should be able to sell this type of devices more going forward. So our plans for FY17 and FY18 are based on these thoughts. In regard to the impairment test conducted, as shown here, since we acquired the company in July 2011, as you see here, every year, FY12 and 13 and 14, the fair value exceeded the book value. So we judged the operation and passed the test in all cases, showing no indication of possible impairment. In light of the criticism we received as to the lack of enough disclosure about the Westinghouse impairment, we have this time decided to disclose the full information about Westinghouse, consolidated, as well as information by product lines, as well as the information for the impairment situations and on the side of Landis and Gear in a timely and appropriate manner when we announce our performance. Even if we do not have the increment, and the results are going to be disclosed to you. Next, allow me to explain NuGen in the United Kingdom. We are now working to get the orders for nuclear business opportunities in the United Kingdom, and this is what we call the NuGen project. Toshiba acquired a 60% share of the NuGen back in June 2014, and Engine retained the remaining 40%, and its former name is GDF Suez. The plan is to build on 3 AP1000 units at Moorside in West Cambria in northwest of England. NuGen already finished its site suitability and investigation, and the land contract was already signed. And they are now in the phase of a licensing agreement talk for construction. If I may, I'd like to take a moment to briefly explain about the nuclear power stations in the United Kingdom. Among the European countries, I believe that the country is engaged in a somewhat unique position in regard to the nuclear energy policy. The UK government is strongly supporting nuclear power as a means to secure low-carbon power and has introduced policies such as long-term fixed power prices and the government loan guarantee. With this, we believe the UK is going to be a stable and attractive market for us. And furthermore, the Moorside, the planned construction site, is adjacent to the Sellafield nuclear complex. In other words, the area has a strong relations with the nuclear business, and actually people in the community are welcoming us very much. For development and the licensing schedule, I have just explained. For your further information, we are aiming to make our final investment decision to go for the plant construction in 2018. We finished already the acquisition in June 2014, and we have already paid 17 billion yen. Going forward, we will work on the generic design agreement and work on the licensing negotiations as to the environment, construction, and operations. We also have a series of negotiations with the UK government on the strike prices and the infrastructure loan guarantee. And this process is going to be lasting up until 2018. So we are hoping that we will be successful in licensing and have access to the funds necessary. Then we are going to go for the construction decision in 2018. And we plan to recover the investment by what we call the EPC, planned construction activities, as well as the income from the fuel supply and the maintenance business, as well as through the stock sales. So we are planning to disclose information about the project opportunities and the risks in a timely and appropriate manner in regard to this 2018 investment decision. We are quite happy to provide you with such appropriate information. Next, I would like to explain the Freeport Liquefaction Tolling Agreement. This has been already reported partially through magazine and others. We have already got the right to a long-term scale of liquefied natural gas and power generation equipment. This agreement covers 2.2 million tons of LNG for 20 years. Per year, 2.2 million tons, and it will be lasting for 20 years. We have a history of actually in a thermal power generation equipment business. And this time, this agreement is going to enable us to go for a package business of power generation and LNG offerings. In 2019, Toshiba will be obliged to receive the 2.2 million tons of LNG. And for information, we are currently in negotiation with several customers for possible sales. For your further information, our negotiation so far goes beyond 2.2 million tons. Therefore, we believe now we should be able to fully distribute this LNG in our own hand. But still, there is a risk here, so I hereby inform you that we will give you details accordingly as to our future LNG and sales activities. Thank you for your kind attention. This concludes my presentation on major projects in the energy and infrastructure segment.